This is Will's Band of the Week for July 7th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the New York City Bureau.
Hello.
And we don't even know what date it is right now, right? We have no idea, because the time-space continuum is completely ambiguous.
Yes, this is a timed release capsule.
So, you know, we're recording it at a time that is probably, I'm thinking like a week and a half from when it goes up. So, we'll see. So again, I'm doing this now for a couple of weeks in a row where I have to apologize in case there's some topical thing like a death of the week, and we don't talk about it. Well, the reason is because we didn't know about it yet. So
that's right.
Yeah. But now maybe there will be no deaths for a while. That'd be the best thing, right?
That would be good. And you know, given the fact that we're way ahead of the curve in any case, you know, recording these in advance and then releasing them later doesn't really put us behind the zeitgeist, so to speak, right?
Right.
I mean, we're still way ahead.
Right, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, well, we don't have any live reports other than, I guess I have sort of a live report. Here's the thing, though. Like, the next podcast we record is going to actually be released before... We're recording before this one gets released. So my timing, I'm just all messed up. So, like, should I bring up this live report or should I bring it up on the next recorded podcast? I'm confusing myself too much.
I'm already confused.
Yeah. So let's just leave it off. No live reports this week. This is going to be completely timeless. And when you listen to it in the year 2037... It's going to sound just as topical as it does today, right?
Correct.
So you told me about a couple bands, and they're kind of, it's cool because this could be like the overlooked bands we missed, because it's rare that we miss a band when you think about it, right?
Yes.
You can't get anything past us.
Right.
And just so
we're already working on the July releases.
Right. And as I was studying these bands you told me about, I discovered that they're both from Chicago.
Strange.
Chicago indie poppers, right?
Yes. I can explain how this came about, though.
Sure.
I was, I guess, on the Instagram of a guy who I think of as my doppelganger, because he's a person of, I think, my age who goes to South by Southwest, and he posted from there under the name Old Guy at South By.
Uh-huh.
And he saw about 50 bands, and a lot of them were the bands that we were seeing. And I thought, wow, this guy is, he's my doppelganger. I mean, he's out here. I don't know him. I never ran across him. But every time I look at his Instagram, he's at a concert that I was at, or I wish I was at, or I should have been at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he saw the Beths about four times, you know, at South By, for example. But, so I was looking at his feed recently, I guess it just popped up, and he had been to a concert, a Pup concert, and I don't know Pup, but I should probably check them out. But the openers at Pup were Beach Bunny and Rat Boys, and he had posted a video of Beach Bunny, and I was like, wow, this is really my kind of thing. These guys are great. So that's how I came across these two bands.
You know what's fun just to think about? You were probably seeing some bands.
Yes.
You were probably seeing some bands in Austin. You maybe were standing like 5 feet from that guy, right?
As a matter of fact, at one point I was looking around for him. I was thinking, I wonder if he's here. I've got his picture. You know, I never ran across him physically that I know of. But yeah, he was probably there.
There's a video on YouTube of Fontaine's DC playing television screen at Cheer Up Charlie's in Austin. It's so funny because the view from the camera is about probably 10 feet from where Craig and I were standing. And it's just really, there's something funny about that. I mean, it's really nothing because of, you know, people are just there and some take videos, but it's funny to watch it and just imagining, like, if he just turned the camera just a little bit, we'd be in the video.
Right.
Maybe
right,
you'll get in
right.
This doppelganger
right
guy.
There.
Does the doppelganger guy post videos?
Oh, yes.
So that's what, yeah, that's what constantly. You're, so, constantly. You know, you ought to be in one of those at some point, right?
Probably.
All right.
But as I say, it wasn't so much that we were at the same concerts as that we were at, you know, he was seeing the same bands or bands that I thought, you know, would be interesting or whatever, but at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It was even weirder than that. It was like a weird sort of time-space displacement.
Yeah, like a parallel experience. Similar,
parallel
but completely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
Similar, but in different spots.
Yeah. So let's talk about Beach Bunny. So you told me about two releases. There's a Prom Queen EP from last year and then a Crybaby single from the year before. And classic right. Streaming service thing. The Prom Queen EP is called Pop, and the Crybaby single is called Alternative. So I guess the streaming yeah. service can't decide what to call them.
Clearly.
Do you want? Should we start by just playing a song, or do you want to give more of a like a bio of Beach Bunny?
Well, as much bio as I have is just that they are. I think it's basically more of a solo project by a woman from Chicago and her couple of support people, and for all the sort of California ambiance that you might get from. Not only from the name, but from the sound. It's not California. It's Chicago. So that's about all I know right there.
All right. Well,
but I would say any of the songs on the EP or that single are great. And if you want me to pick, I'm going to go with Painkiller.
That's Beach Bunny. That's from the Prom Queen EP, and clearly they're trying to gear up to release an album so that it'll be featured on Will's Band of the Week, I think.
Yes, but here they've achieved that objective anyway.
Right, yeah. It's like they're overachievers. Precocious.
Indeed.
So they do have an audio tree session, I noticed, which I just barely looked at. So, yeah, that's cool. So if you want to see them, the band performing live, check out the audio tree session. So I had one pick that caught my ear, and that was it. Painkiller. So you took my pick. So I can either... I can go kind of random. I mean, I kind of have a strategy.
Okay. What's the strategy?
Well, you know, go to that...
You can't go number 7 because there are only 6, I think.
You go to that Crybaby single and you play the first track from that. So it's got to be good, right? Let's try that.
Absolutely.
It's called February.
Strawberry ice cream, a sunless day. You melt away through the cracks in my fingers. I know that sunburn goes away. The broken words I last heard still linger. Maybe by Monday I'll be okay. Any day's better than February. Sometimes I wonder how life would be. Any day's better than February.
Catchy song, Beach Bunny. I made a good pick, didn't I?
You did.
And that was the first time I've ever heard that song. So I have a very, very interesting speculation about that song. It sounds to me like they tracked the drums, not at the beginning, but like she played it and had the guitar and vocal track, and they're like, can you play some drums to this? Because it sounds like the drums are kind of an add-on. It's very, very kind of funny sounding. But the song's great. I found some
Beach... Oh, I'll have to listen for that. Yeah, okay.
I found some Beach Bunny trivia. Some music journalism. Ready for it?
Ready.
This is going to be too late for Jeremiah. They're playing with Pup at Meow Wolf in Santa Fe on Monday, July 1st. Clue for the listeners, we're recording this before that date, but it's going to be published well after that date. So sorry, Jeremiah, if you missed it, too late. But okay, this is an even more interesting trivia. They are opening for Death Cab for Cutie on August 1st in Chicago, and then they are playing at Lollapalooza in Chicago. So, do you know what that means to play at Lollapalooza?
Well, it's not nothing. I know that.
It means you've got a built-in audience of at least probably 10,000 people. I mean, there's so many people. It's insane.
Right.
Now, I was there once in like 2014 or something. But they, I think at that time they had, it's like 90,000 people or something. And there might be two like major stages and then... a few smaller ones, but it just seems like anywhere you are, you're going to have 10,000 people. So that's pretty darn good exposure. Although if they get popular, it's probably because of being on this podcast and not because of Lollapalooza, I would think.
Right. But either way, they seem to be, about to break out. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. But we were there first. I just want to remind everyone we were there first. Before they opened for Death Cab.
Right.
We had them on.
Right. So let's play one more track. What's it going to be?
Let's see. I like the song 6 Weeks. And, it kind of reminds me of us. Because the refrain is, I've been playing the same song for 6 weeks.
Hmm.
You know, when you really like something and you just play it over and over again. Although in this case, it's a little different. But yeah, you'll hear it.
All right, here it is. Beach Bunny. Yeah, the more I hear it, the more I'm sold on it. I know Chris has spoken praises of this also. So, okay, two more comments. Number one, I think I like the concept of the Venn diagram. We were talking about that with Barrett recently, right?
Right.
You know, the common. There's a big common area in the Venn diagram between this and the Beths, right? I mean, I think it's very
totally,
much...
Totally.
It's very much in the Beths, you know, lane, right? But I don't think that diminishes it. I think it's very well written, very well done. Here's the other thing. I oversold the Lollapalooza gig just a little bit because I just looked it up. Lollapalooza for, I don't know, many, many years was a three-day festival, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. For whatever reason, I guess they're packing in the people. So... it's now a Thursday through Sunday, four-day festival. Can you imagine going to a music festival for like 4 days in a row and just being like, I can't even imagine. It'd be so exhausting, even if you weren't an aging rocker. The Beach Bunny gig is at the American Eagle stage Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday starting at 12:50 p.m. So they are the second band on the first day on Thursday afternoon. So there will definitely not, I'm sorry, there will not be 10,000 people watching them. Maybe probably 500. So, you know, just people just kind of milling about very casually. But
now that they've been on this podcast, it's possible they get moved up to like, you know, Saturday night at midnight.
That's true. They might have to change
that.
Don't
you think?
It could happen, yeah. Yeah. They'll move. Let's see, who's playing? See, this is why I don't go to Lollapalooza. The headliners?
Yeah, they'll have to move Drake or something. You know?
There's somebody called Lil Baby.
I'm sure he won't mind.
You can move Lil Baby. How about Good Vibrations, and the good is spelled G-U-D. I guess there's a band we've heard of. The Strokes are one of the headlining bands on Thursday. But there's not a lot.
Yeah, they won't mind giving up their slot.
Well, that's true. The Strokes could just play it.
I'm sure.
12:50 p.m. Let's see who's headlining on Friday. Tame Impala. Now, how come there's bands we've not... it's a little disconcerting to me. I'm so out of touch. Have you ever heard of a band called Bring Me the Horizon?
Nope.
And they're headlining... They're playing at 9 p.m. on Friday at Lollapalooza in front of, you know, wow, thousands of people. How about Alesso? A-L-E-S-S-O. Do you know that?
Nope.
Nope. There's somebody called Snails. Not Snail Mail, just Snails. So we are completely out of touch with Lollapalooza. Let's see. What's Saturday? We've got... okay, these are the headliners on Saturday night in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people. J Balvin, Madion, R.L. Grime, and 21 Pilots. I have heard of 21 Pilots, but so, you know, we are so out of touch. It's just ridiculous. Let's see.
I guess. Although I'm willing to bet you that we know some of the names in the small print.
Not as many as you would think. I mean, it's like they find...
No. Not I think a lot they did, of them,
they,
but some.
They built this lineup to spite us, because it's like... they're few and far between, let me just say that. So, all right, enough about Lollapalooza. I think I'm doing a Lollapalooza rant like Chris likes to do the Grammys and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, I'm going to rant and be a grumpy old man.
I did notice, though, that they may not be the only festival that's going to Thursday.
Really?
I think I noticed another had a four-day scheme going. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like that little trick they've been pulling at Coachella where they...
they do it two weekends in a row.
Everyone shows up for one weekend and then they repeat it on another weekend. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's called a cash grab, I think, more than anything else. I mean, you got all the infrastructure there for 3 days, right? So how much more does it cost to
just leave the stuff there
one more day and collect some more incredibly expensive ticket money, right?
Right, exactly. So here's the thing. I don't know if you ever looked at there's a site called Songkick that tracks live shows and just listings everywhere. So if you go to Beach Bunny on Songkick, then it has a similar artists. And two of the similar artists are Sydney Gish and Soccer Mommy. So they invite you to look at other shows by those bands. And then a whole bunch that I've never heard of. Yep. Mom Jeans, Retirement Party.
Oh, Retirement Party are great, actually. I've heard them.
Girl in Red, somebody called It Looks Sad. Anyway, all these bands. Like I said, nothing gets past us, even though we've never heard of any of these bands. So, all right. Let's talk about Rat Boys then. I barely have listened to any of this. Only, you know what? I listened just enough to understand that they sound nothing like I would think they would sound by their name. Like, you know, Rat Boys? This is going to be like...
Exactly.
It's going to be like thrash rock with some gravelly voiced guy, right?
Yeah, you think, they're opening for Fontaines, right?
Yeah, something like that.
They're a bunch of guys, and they're loud, and they're,
Yeah, brash.
They're loud, and they're angry, and they're brash.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And they were at South By. I think they were all over South By, but we never managed to see them, and I had not really heard anything about them. But I noticed they were kind of adjacent to a lot of bands that... we ended up seeing. So I knew the name. And as you say, I thought, yeah, that's what they sound like. And that's nothing like what they sound like. Right?
Yeah. That's all I know about them, that they don't sound like I thought they would sound
First of all, female singer and a kind of a really interesting sound, different from song to song, but not punk at all. Not really in any way.
Well, the streaming service just calls them rock.
Yeah, because they're at a loss because they don't really know what to say.
Right, apparently.
Right?
Yeah. So you are going to need to pick the tracks. But in pre-production, we decided this album, GN, would be the featured one. It's from 2017, that's their last full-length album that they've come out with.
Correct. They've got a bunch of singles and EPs, but yeah, that's the most recent. A lot of interesting songs on here. Why don't we try... Okay, the album's called GN. The song is called GM.
Sick.
Rat Boys. So I found a genre description.
So how would you... Yes.
This is from an article I found about the album. They said they've decided that the label for them should be post-country.
Okay.
I mean, they're kind of thrashing on an acoustic guitar, so I guess it could be that.
There is a kind of a acoustic folky thing going. That's true. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to find out if the...
But it's not all the same. Doesn't all sound like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to find out when you pick more tracks. They are on Top Shelf Records, and I know I've heard of that label. So we're going to find out what else is on Top Shelf Records. But why don't we do that while we're listening to the next track?
Okay. I think I should go with Elvis is in the Freezer.
With a title like that, I thought you got to pick that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Freezing, there's no chance in hell he's leaving.
Yeah, it's a good one. Rat Boys from the album GN. And yeah, Top Shelf Records. There aren't, I knew I had heard of Top Shelf Records, but very few bands that I've actually heard of are listed as being on this label. They have a Wikipedia page that says that they started in Peabody, Massachusetts, but are now based in San Diego. So they moved to San Diego for indie rock stardom, apparently. But a lot of pretty obscure bands. I'm going to say they're a bona fide indie label. And yeah, hanging out in San Diego, having some good micro brews probably.
Now, did I hear some pedal steel on that?
Seems like maybe. I wasn't listening with a super keen ear, but I think so. There was something sliding, kind of. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, slide, yeah, exactly. Maybe pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would help to define them as, what was that? Post-country.
Right.
Or yeah. Some kind of country.
I think if you put post...
Some kind of country that's not exactly country.
You should be post something, because that makes you cool, right? You've taken the genre a step further.
Right. Post-rock.
Yeah. It's a good one. All right, let's play one more.
Post-modern.
Right. One more Rat Boys track.
Okay. And I'm picking this one again?
Yeah, you are.
Or do you want to do the blind taste test?
If you want to make it blind, I'll do it.
Well, actually, you know what? I do have one. Let's go outside of this album and go back to 2015. There's a great song called Charles Bernstein. Rat Boys.
Yeah, it was a good taste of Rat Boys.
Not boys and not very ratty.
Right. They consist of full-time members, at least, Julius Steiner and Dave Sagan, who are both guitar players. So at least the drummer. I don't know how much bass is in there, but they at least have to have a touring drummer. So, another band we missed,
yeah,
right?
Judging from the videos, I think, yeah, it's when they play live, it's I think it's just two guitars and drums, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they play kind of, I'm bass biased. I always think you should have a bass player. But bands can play without a bass player if they have like a kind of a thick sound so that they don't, you can tell their sound is kind of honed in that way that it's kind of really full. So,
correct. Like,
I might be able to excuse them for not having a bass player.
Although the bass players union would, have to file a grievance.
We'd file for some kind of injunction so they can't play a live show without a bass player.
Right. Or at least someone to sit in the audience and get paid for being a bass player, even if they weren't.
Right, yeah.
Bass.
I would.
Because that happens in, I think that used to happen in Broadway shows.
Yeah.
They would have a contract, you know, a certain number of musicians had to play, and if the composer didn't really need all those musicians, they would still get paid.
Yeah. I think maybe I could do that. I'll go to the Rat Boys show, watch the show, and get paid for playing bass just to cure the violation and be nice of me, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It could
those
work
are,
out.
Those are two very good picks and kind of cool because we're out ahead of them now, and when they come out with their next albums, we'll be completely ready to rock with them, right?
Right.
All right. I've got one more. We're going to go across the pond so this is a band called Sacred Paws, and they have two members. Here's some trivia. The guitar player is also in the band Shopping. We've talked about Shopping before.
Oh.
They're kind of a podcast favorite. And the style's a little bit different. It's a little, in Shopping, it's real, almost kind of surfy with a lot of reverb. And in this band, they're kind of, it's more, how do you describe it? It's kind of playful and bouncy, and it's fun. So, I mean, there's kind of a commonality, but it's also very different. The guitar player's name is Rachel Aggs. She's also in a band called Trash Kit, which I sampled a little bit, and it has, you know, has some stuff in common too. So she's a you know, hardworking indie rocker. And they have two main members, two members. And they, for a while, one was living in Glasgow and one in London. And then the second one, I think it's Rachel Aggs, moved to Glasgow. So they're officially a Glasgow band, which I always say, of course, that makes them cool. And they're on Merge Records.
She moved to Glasgow for indie rock stardom.
Right. That's a good thing to do, right? I think so.
Yeah.
So they're on Merge Records in the U.S., so they've got United States indie rock cred. And I think it's a fun album. I believe this is their third. It's either second or third, but I think it's the third. Called Run Around the Sun, and a good intro to the band is the first track. So let's play it. Called The Conversation. Sacred Paws.
Yeah.
It's got a kinetic energy to it, I think.
Yep. There's a very strong Afro beat guitar influence there.
Right. Yeah, that's a good description.
A little reminiscent of a rather well-known American band that you might think of that's been in your area recently.
All right. What is it?
Vampire Weekend.
Oh, okay. Sure. Like, you know, just stylistically. Yeah. I can buy into that. Yeah. Except they didn't. They didn't play.
Especially.
They didn't play the arena rock venue and sell it out. But
no.
Yeah, they're working in that direction.
I noticed that they were at a festival last year that I think is much more to your liking than Lollapalooza. It happens to be in Wales, but it's the Green Man Festival.
Okay, I've heard of it. Yep.
Yeah, they played the Green Man Festival.
So they're cooler than the Lollapalooza bands. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know who was it? Was it the Green Man? Come on. The Green Man features Fleet Foxes, Dirty Projectors, who we got here? Goat Girl, Phoebe Bridgers, Snail Mail was there. Let's see, Haley Hendricks. Much more interesting than Lollapalooza lineup, right?
Yeah, sure,
but
sounds
like it. You
do have
to go to Wales for it.
Right. It's a little bit out of the way for us. I mean, Craig could probably walk there, but, you know, for us it'd be a little bit more of a trip.
Well, it would. Yeah, he could walk there if he had the weekend. Omni was there. All kinds of people.
Wow. Cool.
We'll just kick Lollapalooza to the curb.
Yeah,
and we'll
go to Greenland. Pretty much makes sense to me. So did you listen to this enough to make a pick?
I did. And that pick is one I will find in 1 second when I go back to the list. And one of those would be Life's Too Short, which is track 3.
Sacred Pause. Yeah, the horns are kind of cool in that one, aren't they?
Yeah.
Definitely has a... Barrett should like that. It's like not... It's not like the ska bands totally, but it's got a little bit of the same kind of spirit to it. Right? I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, he'll probably say, well, they're not as good as the Specials and, you know.
Well, no.
You know, whatever.
Of course not.
Yeah. Let's play one more. I'm going to go up to... We don't play track 6 very often, it seems like. It's the forgotten track. So
okay.
Somebody's got to stand up for track 6. This album, I think, did it. It's a song called How Far. On that one, she's playing two guitars at the same time. So, but it's cool. They sound good mixed together. And I've got a tip for you. Ready for a tip?
Yeah.
July 16th. It's a Tuesday night. Sacred Paws at Rough Trade, NYC.
Oh, my God. My favorite venue.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
you're kind of just a resident guy at Rough Trade.
Yeah,
right?
I pretty much have. I just show up there and they just say, oh, you're here.
What's the name of that guy again?
Come right in.
What's the doppelganger's name again?
Kevin.
I mean, so did he? But what's his nickname? Like old guy, aging rocker guy.
Well, it's old guy at South By.
Oh yeah, okay.
I was just gonna say,
like, you walk into Rough Trade, and probably the employees are like, "Oh, it's that guy again," right?
Right, right.
So here you go. Here's another one for
well,
you.
Well. I would say it hasn't reached that point yet because I've only been there like three times in the past 6 months. But it will probably reach that point at some juncture.
It's heading in that direction, yeah.
Maybe soon. Maybe soon, yes.
I'm looking at the calendar.
You know how when you go, let's say you go to Barrett's Coffee Shop or wherever, you go there a few times. You're just a person who went there a few times. But at a certain point, you become a regular. Right, I don't know how many times it takes.
Right,
but at a certain point, they recognize you, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, you're here. We know you, right?
Yep.
So I haven't reached that point yet, but it's possible. It's possible. Up until this point, I've been, you know, spreading it around to various venues, but I really do like that place.
Okay, at the same gig,
very casual.
The same gig that Sacred Paws is playing at Rough Trade is also the band Public Practice. Isn't that a band that Craig saw at South by Southwest? I think.
I believe so. Wait, they're same gig?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's play a song, see if we like it.
Cutting ties, burning bridges, say you won't survive.
Yeah. We might have even talked about them. Public practice.
See, I believe we did, yeah.
I get easily confused because there's a public practice, a public service, and a public something else. Well, Public Image Limited, but you know, there's too many. The similar names make me confused. But yeah, that's cool. That's super cool. So, well, at least we found a worthy gig for you to go to if you choose to do so.
Correct.
So, all right.
But no pressure, right?
No, of course not. Other than your continued status and a possible meeting of the executive committee, but we'll worry about that if we need to. So,
forgot. Performance reviews are coming up, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. That really serious meeting that we have periodically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't discuss that on the air.
Probably not.
Should probably keep that on deep background.
Every successful organization has some behind the scenes, super serious stuff. Of course, we are no exception. Yeah. I'm looking at all the other stuff that at Rough Trade. They've got some pretty impressive stuff. Pretty fun.
Yep. They had Jack White there the other day playing, not in the performance space, but in the actual record store on the balcony overlooking the record store. It's quite a scene. I think you had to have some kind of special ticket to get into this thing. It's a special gig.
It kind of sounds...
Basically closed the store for him. Yep.
It kind of sounds like a Jack White kind of thing to do, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yep. All right, I think it's... I think we met the $0 standard. So, yeah.
More than met.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Probably up to a quarter, maybe. Safely above zero.
Definitely. I think we're in the single digits, frankly.
It could be. We strive to hit the single digits. So... All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for keeping this thing going by listening to this. And if you're still listening now, then you deserve some kind of a, Will's Band gold card or something. Something like that. So
absolutely.
All right. Any final remarks? Since you're, you have the, the audience of millions of internet fans.
No, I don't think we should tax their patience anymore. I think we should close it out.
Good
so
point.
They can get ready for next week's podcast, which will be even more exciting.
Probably will be, yeah. All right, great. Thanks, everybody. We will talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.